Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the B.A. Sills Kennel Cowboys, the Healing Hour, with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. We'll be talking for about an hour today. We'll continue in our series of natural medicines. Today we're going to start in taking a look at more of the a la carte program and the Health Ranger. We'll talk about astaxanthin. We've talked about it before. I used to represent it. I used to feature it under my own private label years ago. But you can upgrade your health with the king of carotenoids. That being astaxanthin. Experience the unmatched antioxidant power of astaxanthin. 6,000 times stronger in antioxidant power than vitamin C. 800 times better at singlet oxygen quenching than COQ10. Lab tested for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology. Shop now. One of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature, astaxanthin is a fat-soluble carotenoid, keto carotenoid, that belongs to the subclass of xanthophyll. It also belongs to the same family as other powerful naturally occurring antioxidants such as lycopene, lutein, and beta-carotene. For many people, astaxanthin is the go-to supplement for optimal health because it provides a multitude of health benefits. The chief originals astaxanthin soft gels offer a safe, easy, and cost-effective way to get your daily dose of astaxanthin. They are derived from ultra-clean and carefully cultivated Haemococcus pluvialis microalgae, sustainably grown in a controlled lab environment and harvested via CO2 extraction to maximize nutrients. 6,000 times stronger in antioxidant power than vitamin C, 800 times better at singlet oxygen quenching than COQ2, 10 times more powerful than any other antioxidant carotenoids such as zeaxanthin, lutein, and beta-carotene. Support the healthy functions of your brain, heart, eyes, skin, joints, tendons, and immune system. Contains no gluten, pesticides, radiation, or GMOs of any kind. Help maintain your body's natural strength, stamina, and endurance. Explore more. New creatives will be announced. You can find out more at beatsales.ppweb.com. Just go to the direct to the manufacturer's link and click on the Health Ranger. Show. Your host, the moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I want to continue talking about superfoods, and I want to talk this time about my friends at Pure Synergy. Talking about ceremonial grade matcha green tea, 800 plus years of tradition by a Pure Synergy. Do you have the full scoop on what's in your teacup? When it comes to matcha, you certainly should, because where your matcha comes from can make all the difference. Highly recommend Pure Synergy as a supplying source. Ceremonial grade matcha green tea, 800 years of tradition, posted in Culture, their blog. Do you have the full scoop, as I said, on what's in your teacup? When it comes to matcha, you certainly should, because where your matcha comes from can make all the difference. What does ceremonial grade matcha mean? What exactly is ceremonial grade matcha? To understand the significance of the term, we first need to give it a little background. Matcha can either be prepared as a thin tea called Yusacha in Japan, or thick tea known as Koicha. Most everyday matcha is made in the thin tea style, but Koicha, K-O-I-C-H-A, is used for traditional Japanese tea ceremonies. Ceremonial grade matcha is distinguished from other types of matcha because it is a high quality type of matcha that can be used for K-O-I-C-H-A, Koicha, or tea, thick tea preparation. This tea offers a much more intense, rich experience in comparison to culinary grade matcha. While ceremonial grade matcha is produced with quality in mind, most types of culinary grade matcha are poorly processed, bitter, and dull in color. This is because culinary grade matcha was designed to be used as an ingredient in foods like ice cream, baked goods, mochi, and more. Ceremonial tea tradition, as the name suggests, most ceremonial matcha is reserved solely for special ceremonial use within Japan. Ceremonial matcha preparation in Japan involves a higher ratio of ceremonial matcha powder to water, creating a tea with a syrupy, hot watery consistency. The matcha powder and tea are slowly whisked together with a chasen matcha whisk made from bamboo. Because the ceremonial preparation known as Koicha, K-O-I-C-H-A, creates a thick, rich tea, the smell and taste are amplified, highlighting the quality of the matcha. To complement the mild sweetness and umami flavor of the Koicha, it is typically served with wagishi, W-A-G-A-S-H-I, small snacks that highlight the flavor of Koicha. The art of growing matcha. Picture a small sacred tea farm at the base of breathtaking Mount Fuji. This environmentally protected land makes the ideal setting for growing matcha, and it's where all of our ceremonial grade matcha is grown and harvested over at Pure Synergy. Like all true matcha, ours is especially shade grown. Covers are hoisted over the tea plants up to several weeks before harvest. This shading inhibits photosynthesis, causing the plants to concentrate large amounts of chlorophyll and other nutrients to the leaves. It's much the way that my wellness center raises cannabis for the same reasons. But there is a more to what makes our matcha a cut above the rest. Our organic matcha power is hand harvested in early spring from only the youngest sprouting leaves of the heirloom tea plants. Each leaf is inspected to make sure it meets the highest ceremonial grade matcha standards. Then it's carefully prepared, in the ancient traditional manner, slowly cold milled into an ultra-fine jade green powder on a patented ceramic stone tip mill. After that, it's vacuum-packed to protect all of its unique healing properties. The greenest of all green teas, if you haven't figured it out by now, genuine certified organic matcha is something that takes effort to produce and isn't available at local big box stores. Our ceremonial matcha is organically grown under the most pristine conditions and is naturally processed without the use of any solvents, chemicals, or other compromising substances. We regularly test our matcha to make sure you're getting nothing but the purest, safest matcha, free of heavy metals, radiation, microbes, and more. An antioxidant powerhouse, when traditionally made, genuine matcha is packed with unique, well-researched antioxidants like the famous quercetin, EGG, that supports healthy aging. The USDA's ORAC test method results show that matcha is found about 10 times greater in antioxidant potency than so-called superfoods like the acai berry, acai berry, acai berry, dark chocolate, goji berries, and several other trending fad foods. What is the best ceremonial grade matcha? We've sung the praises of ceremonial grade matcha at Pure Synergy, but there is a caveat. Not all ceremonial grade matchas are created equal. To make sure you're actually getting high quality matcha that's ideal for koicha or thick tea preparation, you'll need to do your homework. To start, it's important to only buy ceremonial grade matcha that is from Japan and has been grown in the shade and is produced from tencha tea trees and tea leaves, which has been traditionally stone ground. To learn more about the greatest and different types of green teas and where they come from, check out the Pure Synergy post at their blog, at their website, for different types of teas. Pure Synergy, BP Web, BH Sales, BPWeb.com, BHSales.VPWeb.com, direct to the manufacturer. How do you do matcha? No doubt about it. Authentic matcha tea is more than just tea, it's an art. At Pure Synergy, our organic matcha powder green tea is a labor of tradition and love. In fact, less than 1% of all matcha matches up to the purity and quality of our authentic, certified organic matcha green tea. As the only company in the United States with exclusive rights to ceremonial-grade matcha grown on a family-owned tea farm in Japan, we are proud to offer this high-quality tea to our customers. Our bright green powder is ideal for whisking up your morning tea, your matcha latte, or afternoon smoothie. And if you're looking for convenience or don't love the taste of green tea, we also offer organic matcha powder capsules so you can get an antioxidant and energy boost on the go. Check out our organic matcha powder today and get the benefits of ceremonial grade organic matcha. You can go direct to the synergycompany.com. I'm a happy client, have been. I've dealt with them on and off since the early 90s. I've revisited having ordered their rapid rescue, done a testimonial there at their website. And matcha will be next on my own acquisition list for my storable foods. And we'll be right back to the show. Stay with us as we continue talking about natural foods, medicines, foodstuffs, and storable foods for good health. All plant-derived, well-crafted clays, oils, tinctures, and naturally derived plant food for both humans, pets, also plants, and the planet. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Listening to a little background music here for a second. It's actually ACDC. Okay. Thanks for joining us. We're going to continue to talk about Himalayan salt. Good reasons to stock up on pink Himalayan salt. Good reasons indeed. It's a much healthier alternative to regular salt. Pink Himalayan salt delivers up to 84 different beneficial trace minerals without the harmful additives often found in regular table salt. Aside from being one of the purest and healthiest salts in the world, it is also an underrated preparedness item that you can use for long-term storage. You can use it to create an emergency rehydration fluid, a saline solution to preserve food, and so much more. Our Health Ranger Select Pink Himalayan salt contains a full spectrum of electrolytes and trace minerals that are stripped away from regular table salt. It is mined aside from being one of the purest and healthiest salts in the world, it is also an underrated preparedness item. Our Health Ranger Select Pink Himalayan Salt contains a full spectrum of electrolytes and trace minerals that are stripped away from regular table salt. It is mined from ancient sea salt deposits located deep inside the Himalayan mountains using the traditional room and pillar mining method. Mined salt crystals are thoroughly inspected and sorted to ensure quality and purity. Importantly, because this pink Himalayan salt comes from deep strata that were formed millions of years ago before modern-day pollution, they contain no microplastics pollution like modern ocean-harvested salts. The ocean today is teeming with microplastics pollution, and it ends up in the salt products harvested from seawater. Available in both fine and coarse ground formats, Health Ranger Select Pink Himalayan Salt has not been subjected to irradiation. It contains no GMOs, gluten, anti-caking, or bonding agents, additives, or processing aids. It is also non-China, certified kosher, and lab tested for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology. Note that every purchase at the Brighteon store helps support our alternative video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so that we can help keep fighting for liberty and freedom. Shop now, ppweb.com. Let's get back to the show. Thanks for joining us. BH Sales, Kennel Cal, Holistic Healing Hour, with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Thanks for joining us. Here's an outtake from an earlier Grandpa Bill's Grunts and Groans podcast, then I'll be right back.
9:46 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome. This is kind of the Band-Aid approach that I do to all my shows, and somewhere along the way, I did a product video, and I'm pretty sure I neglected to talk about yet another product that I use is called CelluV. However, there's many product videos archivally of me talking about the product, but the very most recent one that I did moments ago, I think I neglected to mention CelluV, so there it is. And speaking of that, I want to talk about the Extreme Shake that I've continued to talk about, but I want to thank Coach Levy, Coach Adam, because there's so many recipes that he's specifically designed and an integral behind, because he was an innovator in the whole product. So in my probably holistic healing show, our show, I'll revisit how I did whey powder previous to CTF, previous to CTFO even being in business, 2015. That's how I lost 45 pounds and been able to keep it off for over 10 years with the combination of the earthen clays and the water and all of that. Now, to accentuate that, since the release of Extreme Shake, and again, with my memory, I want to say it's easily 2 years ago now, but whenever it was, I don't recall those things anymore. But I've been there since its inception of being released. And as I said in the most recent product video taping and many past ones, the extreme shake has been an item of auto ship multiple times within my now 35 months of being with the company. So again, I do so many of these and I fight brain fog and all that, but I do so many of them with libraries and three podcasts and blogs and vlogs, which is all good. It's all of my own volition and I love it. But sometimes I forget what I actually may have released because it may be in my library. And then usually lots of things come to me after the fact, a la the CellUV unique to the most recent product video that I did. Thank you. That's CTFO wise, if you will. This will be on my show, probably CTFO business show. I interlope them and interlap them. So live here for anybody that's witnessing it or here to do so or whatever, this is my Grandpa Bill's live podcast. So I'm actually going to read from this book that I've been reading about and talking about for quite some time, actually. Portland, Maine, then and now. This book was authored in the year 2000 by a then roving reporter, man on the street, what have you, for a publication called Casco Bay Weekly, where his specific function, if you will, was going out talking about tourism, how key it was to the state then, now, you know, forever, why we'll call it vacation land. But talking about the peninsula of Portland, mostly, a little bit about Maine in its entirety, but the Old Port waterfront region, now this is 20 years ago, with a very humorous slant on that pretty much was the inception of the cruise ships for Portland, if you will. It's been that long ago, depending on how you look at that, long or short ago. But it has been a couple of decades now. Obviously, not the last couple of years for obvious reasons. So I do the analogy for a number of reasons. I premise all my businesses, you know, then and now, and I've hung around on the civilian chronological ladder a couple of days, so then and now. So I talk a lot about the greater Portland community as it was when I was a child, and how the butcher and the baker, I don't know about a candlestick maker, the old rhyme or whatever, but I gave two examples of a butcher and a baker when I grew up, that, and that's how they all did things. You know, one would tell about the other's wares, most assuredly promoting their own, of course. Of course. But I can vividly remember that. I talk about Charlie at the old Cushman Bakery outlet. I was a wee high to a grasshopper, as they say. And I can remember my mom taking us over there and myself, mostly. My sisters had grown up, except for one. She was still home. So, yeah, they would talk about, you know, go over, and I don't recall the butcher's name. I don't. I'm going to call him Freddie, but I recall the butcher. I was pretty young. I was pretty young, probably 4 or 5, something like that. And I vividly do remember them talking about, oh, you got to go see, whichever way you went into one of the other shops, you know, like if you went to the baker first, okay. Well, the bakers definitely told you about, oh, I got cupcakes and pie, you know, all that crazy stuff. They did a great job at promoting them. But seriously, they said, hey, make sure you go over and see Freddie at the butcher's. He's got pork chops or whatever. And that's a true, true story. And vice versa, if you happen to go to Freddie's first, or even if you cross the street from leaving one, they both would still say the same thing. Hey, did you see Charlie or did you see Freddie? Or if you haven't, you should, type of thing. And then I threw in the joke about Harold, and God rest his soul, the barber. It was just, it kind of was like Andy of Mayberry, kind of, sort of, in a different way. And I talked about, not only did the proprietors help each other communally, because it's what they did, But in many, many cases on a local level, those that are listening in locally, but to give those of you that aren't, wherever you're hearing this, I'll do that the best I can. Seriously, they would go out and play cards afterwards. Lots of times the local church in proximity to the two shops I was talking about, the old cathedral church, local historians, Portland, Maine, that was communal. You know, community, and they would go to Guildhall, play Beano, go dancing or whatever. And, you know, hey, you know, whatever, the Irish, the Scotch, the Italian, who cares? It was all a melting pot of all of them. And, yep, plenty of cocktails and whatever, unique to the heritage. Nobody was wild in the streets or any of that crazy stuff, but unique to the heritage, whatever it was. Italians drank wine. I mean, come on. And okay, Irish, Scotch, whatever, you know, but yeah, but they all did it communally, amicably, and just in support of each other in the community. So that's something I would love to see before I die, again, happen. So it's Then and Now. The book is authored by Chris Barry. And how are we doing for time? Real good. Let me pick it up a notch. We'll probably do this one 20, 25 minutes. Okay, quickly, randomly, I've been reading selected chapters archivally, whatever. I'm just picking it up with chapter 3 quickly. It's called Accommodations in the Year 2000, Portland, Maine, okay? Vacation land tourism, very funny slant on tourism, and good friendly barbs, jokes. Humor, not effacing anybody or disparaging nationalities or any of that crazy stuff, and vice versa, as the tourists would, oh, they all talk with, about pronouncing their ING's or saying air or whatever. That's humor. All right, so this one's called Accommodations. Real quickly, a couple phrases of, and I got to take my Mr. Magoo glasses off. It's very important to make reservations for lodging before you plan a summer trip to Portland. Otherwise, you may find yourself sleeping in the car. While there are thousands of rooms in the region, most, I have to turn with my arthritic hands, bear with me, are booked weeks, if not months, in advance. Now, this was 20 years ago. Keep that in mind, please. What follows are brief descriptions of 8 unique hotels and beds and breakfasts located on the peninsula to be very redundant 20 years ago. All have free parking unless otherwise noted. I've included contact numbers for other establishments. I also provide a couple of locations for snoozing when you can't find a bed. Exact room prices are not included because many innkeepers still haven't set the rates for the summer. No, Maine has one telephone area code, 207. Very funny, very true, and very real 20 years later. Okay, so that's just a snippet, and it's very humorous. I'll continue with other chapters. Highly suggest, if you've never familiarized yourself, I'm sure it must be available online somewhere. I don't know that, but I would be shocked if it wasn't. So that's my hard copy, and who cares, coincidentally, once upon a time, that was one of my many supplemental income jobs, too. Yep, I worked for Casco Bay Weekly, not when this gentleman did, not too long after, but never knew him or whatever, but very humorous, very funny book. But again, Portland, Maine then, Portland, Maine now, embarking on an impending summer season after the last couple of years, you know, whatever. We're all going to find out, but I don't know what does happen to our economy, so whatever. So we'll be talking a lot about that at the CTFO show in our community support system. Something else that I do at the shows, lots of you will hear this audio-wise at the said podcast, those of you that are joining. And thank you for that. And we're gaining some followership. Thanks to your good efforts of spreading the word and helping us out. Much appreciated. Thank you. And please continue to do so. I just randomly pick different prayers, and I usually do a thought of the day when I have one and can hold one, a thought, that is. So I'm reading for those that are here for the podcast or will see it, you know, audio visually, And then those of you at the show, welcome at the podcast. And this one's just simply called A Prayer for Husbands and Wives. And a little tiny bit of humor, but I think a lot of relevancy forever and ever at any time frame. But most assuredly, over the last couple of years, to segmentize everything that's happened. Okay, it's called Prayer for Husbands and Wives. Lord, inspire those men and women who bear the titles, husband, you know, quotation marks, and wife, quotation marks. Help them to look to you, to themselves, to one another, to rediscover the fullness and mystery they once felt in their union. Let them be honest enough to ask, where have we been together and where are we going? Let them be brave enough to question, how have we failed? Let each be foolhardy enough to say, for me, we come first. Help them together to re-examine their commitment in the light of your love, willingly, openly, compassionately. Help them together to believe how fragile, yet powerful, how weak, yet how strong, how impossible, yet attainable their love can be. Give husband and wife, or both quotation marks, directly quoting, the courage to be for each other a person rather than a title. Amen. Thought of the day, as I say, sometimes I'll quote, you know, famous quotes or whatever, and then when I can literally hold a thought of my own, I'll usually ramble one out. So this one is a direct quote, a little tiny bit fatigued at this hour of the day. So it's from Inner Peace Quotes Online, goodhousekeeping.com, if you want to look them up. This is, never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever. Even if your whole world seems upset, that would be St. Francis de Sales. Let me just read a couple quick ones while we're here. I think they're apropos, and Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, if you will, the old Saturday Night Live, little comedy, satirical, but yeah. The life of inner peace, being harmonious and without stress, is the easiest type of existence. Norman Vincent Peale. Let's have one more for fun. Maybe two. Okay. Do not let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. Dalai Lama. And one more for here. Nobody can bring you peace but yourself. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Okay, then we come to the humor that I like to try to do. And I've been doing yet, for those of you that are here for the podcast taping, you'll see the book. You'll see me reading the book. I'll hold the book up. I'll show you the illustrations. Those of you on the podcast shows, I'll do my best to create this visually for you. And you'll be able to, of course, retrieve this archive when, where, if, how the Spirit moves you to do so. This goes back to 1992. It's called 101 Reasons Why a Cat is Better Than a Man. It's very humorous. It's very satirical. It's very much the lady who authored it or whatever. I've talked about that. I'm not in lieu of studio time here. I'm not going to repeat their names and so forth. But obviously, it was a woman scorned to whatever degree, a husband, a boyfriend, whatever. But at the moment or time frame of authoring the book, said, no, that again, 101 reasons why a cat is better than a man. It's very humorous. It's very graphically illustrated with the cats being amicable to the woman and taking the side of the woman all along. It's funny. It's funny. It's funny. So I've been randomly just opening up spots. So please keep in mind and archivally, if the Spirit moves you again, catch up respectfully. So And it is called 101 Reasons Why a Cat is Better Than a Man, okay, by Aaliyah Zobel and illustrated by Nicole Hollander. And yeah, I'm going to do this audio-visually, opening up where I left off last time. Cats are never sarcastic. Please remember the title of the book one more time, 101 Reasons Why a Cat is Better Than a Man. Get it? Okay, guys, too, it's funny. It's funny. Meaning that we don't and we aren't and all that kind of crazy stuff. Cats are never sarcastic. A cat would never use your razor on his face. Right cross, right jab, right to the ribs. And it's very funny. I'll hold this up. Very graphically designed. You see the woman in her shower abode. Nothing out of sorts or whatever, but she's obviously in the shower and you see the cat being a companion and being supportive and, of course, not judgmental. I showed one and talked about one, whatever day it was, the woman before she got her makeup on and her hair wasn't combed. And the cats, of course, were cuddling right up and something about a closet full of shoes. And the cat, of course, is right in there, full support. It's very funny. Very funny. So let me read a couple more and we got to keep moving for the studio clock. A cat would never bet on the horses. Pow, there's another jab, right, guys? There's another jab. Do you feel that one? A cat would never bet on the horses. If I had cymbals and the drum, you know how that works. I'll be here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. Drive safely. All right. Cats are loyal. They don't give their affection to just one another. Okay, let me make sure I get this one properly, because it is funny. You ready, guys? I'm going to take another pounding. Ready? Cats are loyal. They don't give their affection to just anyone who strokes them. I didn't say it. I didn't author it, but I'm reading it verbatim. And again, I'll say, apparently the woman was a little bit put out with her significant other, boyfriend, acquaintance, every guy in the world. I don't know that, but it is a humorous look. One more. There's the kitty. You know, for those of you that can see it on the show here visually, it's very well done, very funny. The cat's very supportive. So the cat's saying, I have no objective to a tasteful collar, wearing one, you know, with the cat, wearing one of its own, all jewels and all of that. A cat would never wear a pinky ring. Okay, now, a little bit, not so much in defense of the guys, but let's just say, for fun, let's play along. Let's just say it was a book that said 101 reasons why, okay, a dog, you know the old adage, dog's a man's best friend, another one I didn't coin, but let's just say it was 101 reasons why a dog is better than a woman. Let's just have some fun now. Come on, everybody, keep your shoes on. Let's play along fair now, and let's just say, okay, it was graphically designed by someone, certainly not me, and certainly maybe not authored by me, but let's just say the dogs supporting the laundry because we're all pigs or whatever, gathering in the corner, or the dogs helping us with our wrench and our toolbox or whatever you feel the old men do, the old too much testosterone, watching sports or whatever, play along a little bit. Wouldn't that be a funny theme, maybe, with the right author, the right illustrator? It's all fair, folks, right? All's fair in love and war, as they say in the old days, when you can say both without some craziness. So anyway, very funny book. I'll continue to read it. And I usually do something animal-centric just because I love animals so much. But I tell jokes about people, too, and that was kind of self-contained on both. So very funny there. How we doing on time? Okay, 4 minutes or less at the wholesale. Yeah, at the wholesale. I'm okay. Hour of the day. At the Holistic Hour Club, our show, he said, I'll be talking more about the mind, body, and soul, the superfoods that we've been talking about. Quickly ping-pong-ish here. When I get to the CTFO business show, I'm going to talk more about a recipe that I continue to discover. Thanks, Coach Dave, again. I think that was one of my corral speeches, and I never came back to it. I've used the extreme shake in cooking a lot. My kitchen's a total mess, so I haven't really cooked in the kitchen filming wise for a while. That's coming. We'll do that. But cooking in the kitchen with Grandpa and recipes and so forth, I'll continue to convey them here. Quickly, one that I did with the Extreme Shake, I've added crushed grapes to forms of, and keeping the fleshy, you know, the flesh of the fruit. I like to do that. So I did that two different ways in a shake. And you know, I do coffee with everything. So I showed it a snifter of coffee, not a CBDA coffee yet. That's en route, but a good quality coffee. What am I leaving out? A couple ice cubes, extreme shake. And I put a little shot of SLUV in there too. My corral speech, this will all go back at the show talking about when I was on whey powder before CTFO, before extreme shake, but how now brown cow that, you know, I've been with CTFO. They've come on, you know, along. They've created all these fine products now with the Extreme Shake. I'm discovering new ways. I don't need to do the Extreme Shake for weight control. I've made it. I've made it. I've made it. And I've been able to sustain it for over a decade. But the health benefits, the satiety, the diversity. I cook pancakes with it. I just made tapioca pudding with it without 18 pounds of sugar, and you're getting your health that way. And then I do so many water fasts that I'm getting savings on food, and I'm buying storable food and so forth. So we'll talk all about that at the show in a minute or less. We'll be right on the button at 25 minutes. So bouncing back and forth to the two shows quickly, thank you. I'll talk more about the community program, what I ultimately want to try to do in lieu of animal support. We'll see how that all fetters out. Do check out the community program respectfully. The organization yourself can do it if you want to. All self-explanatory at my landing pages, which will be in the description of the shows. Vice versa, as a client, you can designate a nonprofit agency, and then a percentage of your purchases go directly to the charity of your choice. And we administer all of that behind the scenes at CTFO. So that should be a perceived value-added service and so forth. About 15 seconds left. We'll wrap up the exclusivity of the product, the technology, the new president, Kevin Fournier. That's going to put us on a really whole new platform. So I'll see you all there in a bit. Thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I want to talk to you a little bit more about some more fine superfoods, healthy medicines, but I also want to make a point. Some of the changes of aging, they can start as early as the third decade of life, and about after age 25 to 30, for example. Take a man, for instance, in comparison to a woman, the average man's maximum attainable heart rate declines by about one beat per minute per year, and his heart's peak capacity to plump and pump blood drifts down by 5 to 10% per decade. That's why a healthy 25-year-old heart, for instance, can pump about 2.5 quarts of blood a minute. But a normal, using fingers in the studio, I'm still not a practitioner, so define normal, but a normal 65-year-old heart can't get above 1.5 quarts, and an 80-year-old heart can pump only about a quart, even if it's disease-free. In everyday terms, this diminished aerobic capacity can produce fatigue, breathlessness, and just with modest daily activity. Sound familiar? That's the physiology. That's the breakdown. That's the chronology. That's the science. That's the chemistry. So starting usually somewhere around middle age, using my quotation fingers again, depending on who you talk to, statistical data or whatever, middle age, the numbers range, some say 50, some say 40s, middle age, you know it when you get there. Starting in middle age, for instance, a man's blood vessels begin to stiffen and his blood pressure often creeps up as well. His blood itself changes, becoming more viscous, thicker, and stickier, and harder to pump through the body. That's why statistically, men have more heart attacks overall than women, although women are catching up. It's a dubious distinction, but they are. Starting in middle age, a man's blood vessels, not that a woman's don't, but the physiology, folks, the physiology. We are truly wired differently in all connotations of the word, ha ha ha, but it's true. So a man's blood in itself changes, becoming more viscous, thicker, stickier, harder to pump through the veins if you're doing a great diet and are staying active and whatever. It comes with the natural aging and maturation process of your body being old. So most Americans begin to gain weight usually in middle life for a number of reasons, right? And again, pick the age, middle age. You guys do all that. You guys know when you're in middle age or not. Come on. So putting on 3 to 4 pounds a year, since men start to lose muscle in their 40s, typically, again, it's a semantic world, so I'll play along a little tiny bit. Is there, you know, a 55-year-old guy that could do 4,000 jumping jacks and has the body fat of a 13-year-old? Well, somewhere out there, of course there is. And then all other variables that you want to use. But it is definitely the exception, not the rule, of physiology, of physiology, of physiology. So since men start to lose muscle in their 40s, and they just do, physiologically, if indeed you do have extra weight, like if you drink high caloric beer, for instance, just saying, the proverbial beer gut. Yep, I had one of those once upon a time too. Pretty profound one, actually. But since you lose muscle chronologically in that age bracket, that extra weight is retained as all fat. No great revelation. That's why it protrudes out in most men. Again, exceptions to every rule, it's their gut, right? In most women, it might be the posterior, the calves, or whatever. Most. Is there, you know, exception that, oh my God, my arms are fat and my legs look like a tree, or whatever? Well, of course there is. But not in the percentage of the chronological age brackets. Through the annals of time, so extra fat contributes to a rise in LED, bad cholesterol. Bad. Remember that one? President Bush, all due respect, posthumously, rest in peace. But remember, bad, scary. Just a sense of humor. It was pretty funny. Saturday Night Live, Dana Carvey. Remember? It was humorous. Nobody got all charged up and crazy, but subjects for other time. But this extra fat contributes to a rise in LED, bad, by Dana Carvey, if you will, cholesterol, and a fall in HDL, which is good cholesterol. So if you're increasing in bad and diminishing in good, regardless of the subjects, world arena, maybe, good and evil, or whatever, those that discuss that elsewhere. But extra fat contributes to a rise in LED, which is bad, and HDL, which is good, diminishes through physiology naturally, unless you do something to be cognizant of it and try to abate it. It also helps explain why blood sugar levels rise by about 6 points per decade, making type 2 diabetes, we never want to forget those ones either, right along with pandemics and everything else, you know, type 2 diabetes, heart attack, stroke, cancer, all common in senior citizens, still, forever, decades ago, millennials ago, to the history of mankind, and most assuredly moving forward in a toxic world. For sure. So, if you tried to do something about blood sugar, sugar, diet, and become cognizant of it, then that's the catalyst that you have hope. It's that simple, it's that dry. If you go buy old foibles and reach for the crackers and all of that, and everybody does, they make them that way for a reason. I've got another report for you coming out, No Great Revelation. I'll talk about that tomorrow. Everything you can imagine has bad cholesterol. All of it, Cheez-Its, all of it, the list is pretty extensive and pretty frightening. That's true. I mean, we all can pretend and, oh my God, give me my Cheez-Its or whatever. Okay, great, awesome. The facts don't lie. Neither does your body in the answer to whether you do imbibe or you don't. Same with processed foods. Whether you do imbibe or you don't, well, your body will be the visible sign to give away your secret if you want to keep it that way. So the loss of muscle continues, eventually reducing, we're talking about men right now because it's more predominant due to the difference in physiology. I didn't make it that way. Okay. The loss of muscle continues, eventually reducing a man's muscular and musculature shape, physique, muscles, up to 50%. Up to 50%. Which contributes to weakness and disability, obviously. So at the same time, muscles and ligaments get stiff and tight by atrophying. Again, we talked to the Silver Streakers that are here. Thank you for being here. Again, that's why we do some of them seated, standing. You know, if you're, God forbid, wheelchair bound or you can't physically stand up and move, well, there's ways we can do them seated, depending on your afflictions and your range of motion and so forth. And not to be out of school for anybody, but I mean, unless you're in a full body cast or an iron lung or whatever, I mean, you can exercise pretty much no matter what your affliction is within the limitations thereof. Any kind of movement, even in a wheelchair, dancing in a wheelchair or whatever, movement to whatever degree, because you still have to use some sorts of muscles that you're able to still use. Movement and motion and diet, pretty much at any age, but more so for Silver Streakers for all the obvious reasons of the physiology that we talk about, especially here, how the outer core breaks down. And the inner core goes with it if you're not careful. Osteoporosis, brittle bones, all of it. So the loss of muscle continues, eventually reducing a man's physique, whatever. Muscles, muscle tissue. And we're not talking about Bikini Beach and, you know, hulking it up or whatever. That's all great. Not that type. Your natural physique, whatever it was and or should be, as you start to atrophy, put on weight, get all bent over, whatever, in the logical progression of the golden years. Who came up with that one, right? What's so golden about them? In any event, so the extra fat through all of that contributes to a rise in the bad cholesterol. That's what we can keep at bay. And we can keep it at bay. It's a full-time job because it's in everything. Pretty much. So although men have a lower risk of osteoporosis, that's one on the ladies' side of the fence due to physiology, chemistry, a tendency to have more brittle bones and all that. Physiology. It's more predominant in women. And I'm still not a practitioner. I still never played one on television, but it's still a reality and a relative point in medicine. Remember Ben Casey and Dr. Kildare? Guess what? They weren't doctors either, and they did play one on television, if you will. So jargon is jargon, but when it's legitimate jargon and adjectives and whatever, I'm not sure about, oh my God, he's handsome. I goof around. But we do judge so much by that, don't we? Oh my God, she's beautiful, or whatever. So, although men have a lower risk of osteoporosis, which are indeed thin bones, that's what it means, thin bones, than women, they do lose bone calcium as they age. Of course we do. We're still human beings, and when I do the jokes about the 101 reasons cats are better than men and all that, that is funny and all of that. And go ahead, beat us up, have fun, or whatever, but physiologically, humor aside, that is true. So, obviously, it increases the risk of fractures in either sex. If you got brittle bones, So, one reason for the drop in muscle mass and bone density is a drop in the male hormone. For us guys, yet no revelation here, testosterone. You see all the athletes and stuff pushing, oh, I turned 40 and I couldn't get out of bed and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, it's advertising blather. Come on, it is, but it's also very true. It's the physiological part of being a man. So it declines by about 1.5 per year after the age of 40. So, you know, when we are up in the senior kid citizen category, do the math. You know, how long ago were you 40? Those of us that are senior citizens, start doing the math. Frightening, isn't it? Well, so you got 27 years, in my case, who cares, of deteriorating bones if I didn't try to do something about it. If you're 67, 90, you know, 100, God love you, 80, 75, 79, ready, hike, do the math. You've had a lot of decades of decline naturally, and then whatever you've done, if applicable, to accentuate the acceleration of the deterioration. Come on now. If we really want to get better and try to get better and try to stay alive and try, you have to know from where you came, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've had plenty of all of the above, and I've talked about that, but that's subject for a different time too, but it's also part of being human. So I'd like to try to shift, you know, during the show itself here, and always get us all thinking, myself included. This is very self-serving. I've said that many times. Thank you for allowing me to be self-serving as I try to self-medicate and self-understand and discover and all this memory loss and all that crazy stuff, which I, you know, am I going to run into the square and say, oh my God, it's great that I've got this and that and the other thing. It's not that type of thing. And it's not an old poor me thing. I'm trying to use myself as almost like a human guinea pig as an example of a lot of things not to do. A lot of things not to do. But you know what? Squeezed in that sandwich somewhere, there's a little tiny bit of knowledge, experience to go along with the rancid baloney. My stupid attempts at jokes. But you get my analogies, as crazy as they may be. Peel out the rancid baloney. Or as my mother would say, turn the bread over and scrape it. God rest her soul. The other side of the bread is just fine. Just a little bit. Or cut around the edges. The rest of the meat's good. Whatever. God rest people that grew up or experienced the Depression. Understandable why we ate with bacon grease and we saved bacon grease and cups and... But we survived. So, most of us would like to think that our personalities are relatively stable throughout our lives. I know, I'll just leave it at, they made the movie The Many Faces of Eve, which is not funny. It's very sad. But There's a lot of many faces of Eve and Sybils, most assuredly, in the world today. And that's not making fun of anything. It's a sad statement. It's a very sad statement. It's what we've done to ourselves. It's what we've done to the planet. And, you know, if we don't wake up pretty soon, it's what we continue to do to each other. So, I've been reading quite extensively, which is a whole different kind of revelation. I'm not an avid reader, never have been. It always had to be a subject that interested me, blah, 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 blah. More so since I've aged, to try to stay mentally acute, to try to stay focused, to try to stay up as much as I can on what I continue to do, be it hobby, profession, semi-retirement. And I am retired from the other aspect of the business as of 2019. But however long or short I got, I will always be an advocate to whatever degree. So, I came across Rene Mottus, M-A-M-O-T-T-U-S. Again, I butcher everybody's name, including my own, and I forget most people's names, including my own. So I always spell them and posthumously or wherever, whatever, today, tomorrow, their cousin, whatever. If I'm mispronouncing somebody's name, my apologies. But guess what? Stay tuned. I'll be calling them completely wrong names and mispronouncing them at the same time. And the oxymoron, when somebody says it is what it is, well, of course it is what it is, because everything is what it is. Right? But in any event, so I've been reading a little tiny bit, lots of these people that I've been quoting. And when I can remember them, Rene Mottus, again, M-O-T-T-U-S, definitely R-E-N-E, as far as I know, that's still Rene in France, I don't know, but a psychologist from the University of Edinburgh is quite a bit of what I've extrapolated here, with my own interjections here too. But most of us like to think of our personalities as relatively stable throughout our lives. This is excerpting quite a bit from the Rene Mottus. And when I'm doing it verbatim, I will say that. Such as the following. But research suggests that it's not the case. Our traits, from an article written at the BBC.com, talking about Rene Mottus, I am verbatim quoting that said article now. So I have indeed cited the said article. Thank you. It's a crazy world, folks. So, research suggests this is not the case. Our traits are ever shifting, and by the time we're in our 70s and 80s, we've undergone a significant transformation. Remember when you were however young you were and your grandmother, grandfather, Uncle Charlie, whatever, play along, please. When they were old, whether they were or not, you know, but you understand what I'm saying. And we weren't throwing rocks at them or we're afraid of them or whatever, but how would a child perceive an elder, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, now, 10 minutes from now, moving forward? Hopefully with respect, but of course to a child you're perceived as old, and if you are old and decrepit and hunched over and crooked and all the things that do come with old age, well, are we too far off? 60, 70, whatever, in some generations it came sooner, but in some generations, and when you stop and think of it, less toxicity for one reason, they lived on clean agricultural food, water, and soil, big difference there. You didn't have any big chemical companies or whatever. So obviously they didn't have the degree of maladies that we've got now that are all precipitated by one great big cesspool that used to be called the Blue Planet. And I'll say again, my goofing around with attempted poetry. The poets in my family and the poet laureate is my deceased mom, God rest her soul. And my granddaughter's pretty gay. The old man just goofs around with it to see if he can put two words together. But one that I said before doesn't rhyme or whatever, but if I was on a rocket ship or a spaceship, what would I see transgress before me, below me, on the so-called blue planet? Well, I'll never find out, and I'm sure I won't be on around long enough or whatever to be on Elon Musk or Richard Branson's or whatever, interspace travel or whatever. So I never will be able to project in living color, if you will, from a bird's eye seat up in space to know. But my most educated gut feeling, I'll bet you it's not blue anymore from up in the sky way up above. I'll bet you, I'll bet you, I'll bet you, I'll bet you. And I'll bet you we can see the potholes of degradation, massive erosion of soils on a cartography map from outer space or what have you. In any event, I'll bet you it's not the blue planet anymore. I'll never be up there to prove it, but I query. I can tell you down on sea level side, it's not as blue as it was even going back to my childhood, which, yeah, okay, me and Abe Lincoln and Moses, I kept trying to talk Moses. You know, he got preoccupied with parting the Red Sea, and I was trying to talk. All right, I kid around. I'm old, all right? Not quite that old. But when you put it relatively speaking, if you look at it that way, it is old. But decades-wise in the history of the planet, if you do, well, then it's a baby era of time, if you will, going back 6-7 decades. Under that premise, in the history of decades of the planet. So stay with me. So obviously in the mid-50s, that was very much the backside of the Second World War, about 7-8 years later when I came around the scene, but definitely was the baby boomer generation still up through the mid-60s. And it definitely was the television era. And we definitely were influenced, persuaded, took everything hook, line, and sinker. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And if you stop and think about it, yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Even more so if it happened to be, you know, somebody on Gunsmoke or they wrote a book. Remember when cigarettes were cool? Not the brand cool, but remember? And you just weren't cool unless you had a cigarette in the movies or after the movies. And Humphrey Bogart, probably contributory to his lung disease when he died, but whatever. And then the proverbial food charts, you know, don't eat meat, don't eat eggs. And then, you know, 10 years, oh my God, eat meat, eat eggs, eat, you know, eat this, eat that. You realize that we created the tomato. The tomato wasn't developed like from God. You do realize that just as one example. Okay? So we thrived on plants, the water, the soil, berries, all of many, many indigenous people around the world are so far superior in medicine and natural medicine, I'm sorry, than any traditional doctor will ever be. So, plants, it's really not that revelating. And I used to get asked a lot in the animal industry about horses and all of that. And all I could say is, well, why did animals constantly seek out the ocean throughout the history? By the seashore, the poems, the rhymes, the folklore. Well, for the vegetation, for the salt, for the salt. And for the natural nutrients they were getting from the said body of water. Dr. Doolittle was right on. Listen to the animals. Talk to the animals. 9 out of 10 instances, they are so far superior than human species ever thought of being. But most of us would like to think that our personalities are relatively stable throughout our lives. But are they? Research suggests that that's not the case. Again, just go back X number of decades and do the math. Was anything the same 20 years ago as it is today in some instances? Is it going to be moving forward? That goes to my communal growth support effort over at the business show a little bit later. But you're all going to laugh. We've undergone a significant transformation. Well, that would be like maybe the understatement of this year so far, probably. Granted, of course it is, overstating the obvious. So, if we're a couch potato, that's a little tiny bit different than, you know, being handicapped and maybe being relegated to the couch or chair. But again, we're going to continue to talk in ways to abate terms of deterioration or decline as best as any of us can. Modification of our personalities has some surprising upsides. If we can get the right tandem, if we can get the right tonic, if we can get the right combination and the right ongoing studies, not only of cannabis, which is marijuana, but of hemp, which is not. So we become more conscientious and agreeable and less neurotic as we discover ways to abate all of those through all of these fine, astute studies, institutes, documentable proof, at the same time curing nothing yet, but showing some really good signs. So, personality traits, Machiavellianism, narcissism, psychopathy. Those are schools for doctors and whatever, and I'm still not one of those. All I've ever really been is a conduit to putting people in touch with really good information, good manufacturers, and good products. I've been blessed myself that way. So the old adage, who you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Sometimes, unfortunately, and I've talked about that before, it's a shame that you have to sometimes go to that too. And this crazy, well, you know somebody, or you went to school with somebody, or they've made 27 movies, or perhaps you're related to somebody, or whatever the case may be. Big deal. Big deal. Big deal. Only if you make it that way. So, far from being fixed in childhood or around the age of 30 or whatever the experts, and I use my quotation fingers. Hey everyone, welcome back, and let's get to the finishing touches of today's show here. And basically, right before the little transition period there, the only thing that I was going to wind up on and will, right here, is exercise, movement, to whatever degree, especially we senior citizens, is the key. So we'll talk more in upcoming episodes about that. Exercises for we seniors and geriatrics, workouts for geriatrics, but exercise is the key. When we're young, exercise comes kind of naturally in helping our bodies to develop properly. As we age, we become less active. Regular exercise becomes essential for maintaining our health, vitality, strength, and quality of life. Unfortunately, most of the statistics and those around us, if we just look, unfortunately, show that almost two-thirds of people over 65 aren't getting their minimum amount of recommended physical activity, and one-third aren't getting any at all. So, again, I base this on what's been successful for myself. I've had many clients compliment to the products over the years and what have you, but I am emphatically making this clear. I'm not a practitioner. I'm not a trained coach, what have you. Thus is why I would never charge somebody for this or write an ebook. And I could do that. I could do that. But I'm not in it for that. I really am not. So again, take it from the source, literally and figuratively, take it from the source. But I know my results have been pretty miraculous. Pretty miraculous as to where I was to where I am. And I have clients and pets and so forth that through some suggestions or whatever, I've been pretty successful in that career, past tense, that I retired from. That is a given. But I will always do the a la carte program until I return to the speck of dust that we all are. I believe in the products that much, the people that are behind it. And, you know, have some pretty good business relationships. And I deeply appreciate that. So, exercise, movement, it makes it easier to get an energizing full body workout when, where, and if for we silver streakers. We are concentrating on breathing and movement and stretching and some sort of resistance training to whatever degree we can do it, because it's better than zero or none at all. It's going to be gentle on your joints for sure. I have enough crooked and fatigued and damaged ones myself. I'm not going to injure myself to show you guys something. You can bank on that. And I kind of mean that levity-wise, but I also mean it. I would never do anything to intentionally try to hurt anybody. Anything. But if you limber up your joints to whatever degree within the capabilities that you can, it's amazingly effective for increasing cardio strength, balance, muscle tone, and overall health. And to wrap this show up somewheres, like seems like 10 decades ago, I know, when you go to the proverbial staircase, my example, you won't be afraid of it. Thanks for joining us at the show today. Thanks for joining us every day. And always remember that BA Sales, Kennel Kelp, A to Z Animal Products, CTFO, all these supplying vendors, manufacturers, products, Goodwill ambassadors, clients, friends, everybody that cares about abating pain, stress, and aggravation, discomfort, and just not feeling good. We all promote that for our pets, their people, plants, and the planet. Invited audience, thank you. We're applicable. There's been many different groups now. You know who you are if you're there to do so. Thank you. Goodwill ambassadors, you most assuredly know who you are, especially the regulars that come through. Thank you so much. Ubiquitous audience, if you find what I say, the way that I presented it and outlined it, that I'm simply a conduit, which is all I've ever been, to put you in touch with these fine, astute individuals, industry experience between those at CTFO at the helm and the founders and all of that, all my manufacturers, and if you throw in this old man, that's over 500 cumulative years of industry experience. Somewhere along the way, we got to be doing something right. We grow exponentially through your word of mouth advertising, both at the show to promote these shows and help me do the same. And if you do truly like us, please do physically like us and share us. It helps with the algorithms to accentuate us on social media, because you see, this message does and will resonate with somebody, because everybody knows somebody that's in pain, discomfort, aggravation, has a malady, is hurting, and or has a pet or an animal or multiple animals thereof that are in the same condition. Thanks, everyone. We'll say bye-bye for now. And may God bless. Peace.